This is another edition of The More Abundant Life. This is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today. And today we're going to continue the series on the Ten Commandments. If you've been listening, those of you who are not first-time listeners may have heard the series that Pastor Phipps has been presenting, other parts of that series. We're going to continue that series today with commandment number 9, The Power of a Lie is the title, and we're going to get right into that message. Before that, though, we're going to hear some music, a song that will prepare us for today's message, a song entitled Forever Yours.
Quiet place, I still see your face, and I hear your voice down in my soul. Lord, I make this vow, and I pray somehow that you will believe me when I say that I'm forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever, forever yours, forever yours. I keep your face before me. You're mine, and I am forever.
Straight from your side, I pray you'll wipe my tears away. Ooh, and if we must part, keep this word in your heart till we meet again. I'll always be forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, Forever Yours, from the CD The Sun Will Shine Again. Now we're going to get to the sermon for today, and we're going to divide this sermon into two parts. So we're going to hear part one today of commandment number 9, the power of a lie. Here now is Pastor Wintley Phipps.
My message this morning, the power of a lie. The power of a lie. You have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Exodus. I am now at the 9th commandment in our series on the 10 commandments. And you'll find in Exodus 20, verse 16, the 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Say it with me. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The principle here in modern parlance is simply, don't lie. Don't lie. In the beginning of time as we know it, the Lord planted a garden, and they called that place paradise. The Garden of Eden was a place of peace and plenty. Beautiful flowers gave of their fragrance every morning, sweetened the warm, silky air at night. No cold winds blew in Eden. In Eden, there was no sorrow, no tears, no sad songs, no sickness, no worry, no fear. Even the lion and the lamb played together. In Eden, Adam and Eve walked the earth without guilt and shame. When they got hungry, every fruit-bearing tree gave joyfully of their luxurious abundance. Just imagine, Adam and Eve ate fruit that never needed time to ripen. Can you imagine mangoes that were born sweet? Have mercy, Jesus. Created for the appetite and pleasure of man. Well, it was there in this perfect place that God placed the first man and the first woman. They were pure and spotless, chaste and undefiled, a wonderful, fearful, and unique creation. There in Eden, Adam and Eve lived in harmony with their Creator. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Genesis 2, verse 15, and it says, "And the Lord God took the man, Adam, and did what? Put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." And look at verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded" who? Commanded who? "The man Adam, saying to Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Church, only one restriction was placed on Adam. You cannot eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. The day you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. God gave Adam this command, church, before Eve was even created. Woo, are you hearing me today? God gave this command to Adam before he created Eve. And look at verse 17. And that you'll find it in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 2. Thank God for your Bible. Are you glad for your Bible? Because these are things you'd never know about were it not for your Bible. Amen. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened, that's chapter 3, look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 17, 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now look at verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord did what? Caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, God took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. The rib which the Lord took, Lord God had taken from man, made he what? A woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, I've learned something already today. I did not know that God gave Adam that command before he even created Eve. Have mercy. So the man got it first. Lord, have mercy. And here Adam was with his new bride. What more could a man ask for? A woman you love in a garden home, flowers that don't die, mangoes that are always ripe. That's paradise. Amen. But one fateful day, a sinister voice spoke in Eden, shattering the compact of peace between God and man. The voice that spoke was the voice of Lucifer, the destroyer, Lucifer, the great deceiver, cast from heaven because of his rebellious spirit. His evil plan was simple. Did you know that the devil had a simple, evil plan? From wherever he was, his plan was to cause as much grief for God in heaven as he could. What a plan. How is that a mission statement for somebody's life? Spend your life trying to cause God grief. There are people like that in the church who have the same spirit. They leave churches, and you and I know that no church is heaven. As a matter of fact, I always tell people, if you find a perfect church, don't join it, you'll spoil it. If you find a perfect pastor, If you find a perfect shepherd, lock him up in the pastor's study, don't let him out. And don't let the word get out that he's a blessing, because somebody will try and take him. Cast out of heaven, the devil's plan was to cause as much grief in heaven as possible. Some people have that same demonic spirit that says, because I'm not happy, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you're not happy. Woo! That's what the devil said. I'm miserable. I'm going to do everything in my power to make God miserable too. Woo! Since God didn't allow him to have his way in heaven, he was going to try and cause God as much grief in heaven as he could. Some people are like that because they can't get their own way in the church. They try to cause the people in the church as much grief. It's a demonic spirit. The devil decided that the best way to do that, to cause God grief, was to cause Adam and Eve to sin and join him in his rebellion. He figured that that was his best chance to hurt God and make God unhappy. And that was by hurting God's children he had created. The devil still knows how to break a father's heart. He still knows how to break a mother's heart. Attack the children. Attack the children. And you can break the parents' heart. Ellen White says, listen to this. That doing this evil deed and doing it right was such an important mission, getting at Adam and Eve, that the devil decided against delegating it to anybody else. Woo! He said, I'm going to get this right. I'm not going to let any other subordinate demon get this mission. He told his evil angels, that he didn't need to fight with swords of light to win this battle. He would use the most powerful weapon that he, the devil, had ever created and refined, and that weapon was called a lie. Told his evil angels that he was confident that what he could not win by force, he could secure by guile and cunning and deceit. And as Satan looked through his arsenal of weapons with which he could use to tear down all that God had built, there was no weapon that he saw as being more powerful and more devastating than telling a lie. In Satan's mind, this was his nuclear option. This was the most powerful weapon that he had ever created. Did you know he created it? Telling lies is the devil's most successful weapon. And I said, he created it. How do I know that? If you have your Bibles, you can find it in the book of John, chapter 8, 44. Jesus said unto them in John, chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? Was a what? A murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is what? A liar and what? The father of lies. He created this weapon. Church, God knew how dangerous the devil's new weapon was, so God dispatched, servant of God says, God dispatched two angels to warn Adam and Eve. God always warns us when we're about to make mistakes, you know. We just don't listen. He said, don't marry that no good brother. We don't listen. I'm in love. God loves us too much to let us sin without warning us. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, God does not allow his children to sin successfully. Now, you know that's the truth. I say, you know that's the truth. Oh, one day years ago, many, 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 many years ago, I was traveling with a friend through Arizona, 100-degree weather, no air conditioning. You start to get on each other's nerves. Took off his shoes, and I thought something blew up. And I got so upset. The only time I think I got so upset, I tried to say a couple of curse words. And he broke out laughing. And I said, what are you laughing for? He said, man, you can't even cuss right. Charles Spurgeon was right. God does not allow his children to sin successfully. Church, God is so amazing, he warns evil people when they are about to go down a path to disaster. He warned Pharaoh, didn't he? He said, man, you don't want to do this. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He warned Pilate through his wife in a dream. You don't want to do this. He even warned Adolf Hitler. I am a student of that era. I study 1935 to 1945. World War II amazes me. How could an intelligent Christian country like Germany, religious country, fall prey to the evil of one man by the name of Adolf Hitler? And in my studies, I came across, how can I say this to you? I came across a relating of an experience by one of Hitler's aides. You see, Hitler was always trying to say that he was going to get German people back into Germany, and that's why he would conquer Austria and he would conquer parts of Poland and Czechoslovakia. But the moment that he stepped out to conquer places where there were no German people, that was when the world knew that this had gone to another level. But that day, listen carefully, that day that he stepped across Poland to capture Polish people, he was in his retreat up into the mountains, up in the mountains of Germany, and he began to look into the sky. And all of a sudden, that sky began to fill with clouds that were gray and boiling and red and all kinds of awful colors. And he began to tremble. Looking into the sky, the day that his armies moved into Poland, and a Hungarian woman came shaking beside him and said, "You know what this means?" He said, "No, what does it mean?" She said, "It means nothing but blood. Blood, blood, more blood." And Hitler, shaking, cried out, "Then let it come." God, I believe, warns even evil people. Those two angels sent from heaven found Adam and Eve and told them they were in great danger. The enemy had them in his sights. He was coming with a new weapon. And as recorded in our scripture, the devil approached Eve in a disguise. He did not come to Eve with the roar of a lion. He did not come to Eve as a creature of ugliness. He came instead in the form of a serpent endowed with the gift of human speech. Now, you know, if you saw a snake who could talk, there would be no discussion, thank you. You know I'm right. The devil's first words to Eve were framed in the interrogative, in the form of a question. His first words were so smooth, so subtle, that they concealed their wicked intent. Satan specializes in artfully disguising his person and his purpose. Don't forget that. Satan specializes in disguising his what? Person and his purpose. Look at the way he introduces himself to Eve. It's not an introduction to excite suspicion. "Hello, Eve. You look wonderful today. Eve, did God really say you may not eat of the tree in the garden?" Church, I want you to pay close attention as we listen in to one of the most momentous and pivotal conversations in all of human history. "Eve, come now, did God really say that you can't eat of the trees of the garden?" Now, on the surface, those words seem bathed in innocence, but beneath the surface are motives that were cold and calculating, sinister, and shrewd. The devil's first words are never always outright falsehoods and errors. Instead, they are always half-truths, inference, innuendo, suggestion, allusion, implication. His first words to men are always intended to undermine trust and confidence in God. Remember, Satan is a peddler of doubt. His first words are always to unsettle the fate of the believer. When you come into contact with people and the words they begin to speak to you don't bolster your faith but begin to undermine it, you need to find some other kinds of friends. God is not, are you with me today? God is not going to send you the kind of friends that after 5 minutes of talking to them, you are questioning your faith. The devil starts off by asking Eve a question to which he already knew the answer. He knew that God had said to Adam and Eve that they were not allowed to eat of the trees of the garden. But the path to hell always begins with innocent discussions. You don't turn, you know, everybody here has been to a Sabbath school with somebody who's got something stuck in their craw, coming up with strange off-the-wall questions just for argument. You know I'm right. Now, Eve, did God really say that you can't eat of the trees of the garden? And Eve jumps to God's defense, as if God needs any defense. Oh, yes, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. God didn't restrict our freedom. We can eat of any tree in the garden that we want to, except that one over there. Which one, Eve? That one over there. Point it out to me. That one, you know, the one in the middle of the garden, the one whose golden fruit glistens with the light of mystery. Oh, Eve, you mean that tree? Yes, that one. God asks us not to eat it or even to touch it or we'll surely die. Come on, Eve, what's so special about that tree? And here comes the big lie that opened the door to sin's entrance in our world. It is the biggest lie that the devil ever told and ever tells. Eve, you will not surely die. Young man, go on and play with sin. You won't die. Smoke that weed. Do those drugs. You won't really die. Come on, Eve. Surely you don't believe that the one who made all this beauty will follow through on what he said? You don't believe that the one who dressed this garden with all these gorgeous flowers will allow you to pay such a price for the taste of one little fruit? Surely one fruit from one tree wouldn't matter that much to him. Church, the devil's most powerful weapon is lying. And those who buy his lies die.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today. Unfortunately, we can't complete the message today, so we're going to have to ask you to tune in to hear the completion of today's title, The Power of a Lie. If you would, however, like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. You can call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. And you want to refer today to program number 343, and that'll give you the title, Today's Message, The Power of a Lie, Part 1. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. And again, the program number today is 343. Well, until next time, I hope you'll remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart. Feel